Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. But when tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's stop at this point and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you help me tonight as I do my best to expound the Word of God. I pray you keep your hand on our service tonight. Lord, I believe there's a lesson here for us somewhere. If we just look for it, I pray the Spirit of God will speak to hearts tonight. Have your way in the service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, we started this new series in the book of Habakkuk. There's 3 chapters, but it's going to take me a lot more than 3 weeks, I believe, to expound these chapters. I was able to do the whole first chapter in 1 week, but I didn't get that far in my study in chapter 2, not much further than the 4 verses I read. Now, I gave 2 outlines for the book last week. I'll give them to you again for those who weren't here last week, or even for those who were here by way of review. I'll give those outlines. In chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we have the perplexed prophet who brought his problem to the Lord. That's what we looked at last week, chapter 1. He was the perplexed prophet who brought his problem to the Lord. In chapter 2, we're going to look at tonight, at least we're going to get started tonight. Not going to get too far into it, but get started. He's the waiting prophet who received the answer from the Lord. So he was perplexed last week and brought his problem to the Lord. Tonight, chapter 2, he's waiting on the Lord. He's the waiting prophet who received the answer from the Lord. And then chapter 3, he's the rejoicing prophet who was strengthened in the Lord. That's back in chapter 3. That's the 3-point outline, 1 for each chapter. There's a smaller outline, a little more concise. Chapter 1, Habakkuk is wondering. In chapter 2, Habakkuk is waiting. In chapter 3, Habakkuk is worshiping. Now, tonight I want to look at Habakkuk is waiting. After we pray, we must wait. That's the way it works. We pray, and then we wait to hear from God. Sometimes we wait a long time. Sometimes we only wait a short time. Sometimes the prayer is answered instantly, and sometimes it takes a while. But we know this, God definitely answers prayer. Amen. We know God does answer the prayers of his people. God, we can be sure of. And we know the Bible teaches that over and over. How about this? Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Jeremiah 29, 12. Then shall you call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So God said, you're going to call on me and go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Jeremiah 29, 12. So God does answer prayer. He promises that he's going to answer our prayer. Here's one that I'm sure most people in this room are familiar with. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33, 3. He wants us to call upon him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How about Psalm 86, verse 7? Psalm 86, verse 7. In the day of trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. So the psalmist said, when he's in trouble, he's going to call on the Lord, and he had that assurance that God would answer him. He says, in the day of trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86, verse 7. Here's Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we're to pray and then wait till we hear from God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't get discouraged. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here's Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. How about Psalm 62, verse 5? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 62, verse 5. Here's a little lengthy one, but it's a blessing. Psalm 123, verse 2. Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. You get that? He says, just as the eyes of a servant look upon the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden look unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Until we hear from God. Until he gives us our answer. We're going to keep looking and waiting and watching. Here's one, Psalm 130, verse 5. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. Here's one from Isaiah. I think this one is very popular, well known. Maybe some of you have been blessed by this scripture. Maybe some of you have committed it to memory. Psalm 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. Maybe a couple more, and then we'll get back to Habakkuk. Here's some Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25. Of course, Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Lamentations 3:25. Now, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Habakkuk is waiting to hear from God. In chapter 1, he brought his burden to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord, cried out to the Lord, and now in chapter 2 he says, I'm going to watch and wait to hear from God. Look at verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and that lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And it's interesting how that verse is quoted in the New Testament in a much different way, and I'll say more about that in a few minutes. Now, before we go any further, we need to ask this question. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? I've quoted quite a few verses in Scripture, many from the Psalms, not all of them, but most of them, about waiting on the Lord. Would it pray and then wait? What does that mean to wait? Andrew Murray, one of my favorite authors, he wrote a good book entitled Waiting on God. The whole book's about waiting on God. Each chapter, sort of a devotional book, each chapter about waiting on God. And he wrote this: we are waiting on a God who never could disappoint his people. We ought to make up our minds to this, that nothing was ever so sure as that waiting on God will bring us untold and unexpected blessing. Andrew Murray says we should just keep waiting and make up our minds that we're going to get a blessing when we wait on God. Untold, unexpected blessing. Now, the prophet Habakkuk was waiting on God. And he went to his watchtower to wait for God. In verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible doesn't say, but I believe this watchtower was probably where he was accustomed to going when he wanted to pray and get along with God. That's my feeling. That's probably his favorite praying place, the watchtower. That's where he went. He said, I'm going to wait, watch, to see what he will say unto me. Now, in the Old Testament, prophets are often compared to watchmen. I'll give you a few examples. Keep your place in the back here. Look at Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21 and verse 8. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime. By the way, that's got nothing at all to do. Is it cold in here, brother? Are you making it warmer?
I'm fine.
No, I noticed that. I see him walking back there with a blanket. It's okay, brother. Make it warm. It's okay. But I'm trying to pitch pennies and keep it cold here, isn't it? Now, he said he stands upon the watchtower. Now, by the way, that's nothing to do with Jehovah's Witnesses, right? I think you know that, but. A lion, my Lord, I stay continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And then look at verse 11. Isaiah 21, verse 11. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire ye. Return, come. So, in the Old Testament, prophets are often referred to, often compared to, watchmen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So, again, when the Lord says, I sent watchmen over you, he's talking about prophets. And that's the whole context of this passage of Scripture. He mentions the prophet dealing falsely in verse 13. And they said, peace, peace, but there's no peace, meaning giving false prophecies. And then verse 15 said they committed an abomination, weren't even ashamed. And then says in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Remember, they wouldn't do right. And then verse 17, he said, watchmen over you. So, watchmen here is referring to prophets. Look also at Ezekiel. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, the Apostle Paul refers to it twice in the book of Acts. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet. The Lord says he made him a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Just like a watchman had to warn people when the enemy was coming, God said Ezekiel was like a watchman unto the house of Israel, giving them a warning from God. And then he said in verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, Paul referred to that twice, that he was free from the blood of all men, because he warned people. He gave the gospel out. He warned people of the consequences that continued in their sin and unbelief. Ezekiel 33, we see the same thing. Ezekiel 33 and verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and saying to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take the man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. So, we see this in the Old Testament that, and by the way, you see this quite a bit in this chapter. Look at verse 7, Ezekiel 33:7. So thou, O son of man, I sent thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Very similar to what we see in Ezekiel 3. So, in the Old Testament, prophets are compared to washing. Now, in the New Testament, pastors are God's watchmen. We don't have prophets today. It's a different dispensation. And now we have pastors. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, talking about pastors, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. See? They're like watchmen. They watch for your souls. In the Scofield Bible, in the margin, it has Ezekiel 3, 17. Scripture we just read. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we don't have prophets today, but we still have watchmen. Okay, the pastor is the watchman. Now, we are told to wait. Ezekiel went, Habakkuk went to his watchtower to wait. He prayed, and now he's waiting. And we never know how long we'll have to wait. But we have to trust God. And know that God, His schedule is always on time. And though sometimes we feel we're waiting too long, from God's perspective, it's not too long at all. We just got to be patient and trust God. In Jeremiah 42, verse 7, we're told, and it came to pass after 10 days. That the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. So Jeremiah waited 10 days in that particular time. In Daniel 10:3, we're told Daniel was waiting 3 whole weeks, 21 days. Then the angel told Daniel in Daniel 10:12, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So we know from that portion of Scripture that Daniel's prayer was heard instantly, but he still had to wait 3 weeks. So we'll be patient. And of course, you know, it takes sometimes a lot longer than 3 weeks. Sometimes more than 3 years. Maybe you pray for a loved one a lot longer than that. Many years. I've been praying for some unsaved people a lot longer than that. I've been praying for some unsaved Catholic villagers since I got saved. They're still not saved. You've got to keep praying. But we must trust God, and we must not be anxious. We must learn how to wait on God and trust Him. Now, that's what chapter begins with, Habakkuk's waiting. Now, in addition to waiting, we must expect an answer from God. Habakkuk said he would watch to see. Look at verse 1. I'll watch to see what He will say unto me. We can expect to hear from God. Now, how are we going to hear from God? You don't have a watchtower, probably. I don't really know what a watchtower is. Though we might have a favorite praying place. How is God going to answer our prayer? I believe sometimes we can expect to hear from God as we read our Bible. God speaks to us through His Word. Oftentimes God has spoken to me that way. I'm praying, waiting on God. God speaks to us through the Word of God. Sometimes God impresses something upon our hearts in an unmistakable manner. But we know God is dealing with us. Sometimes God answers our prayers by providentially ordering our circumstances. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. George Mueller, who was a great prayer warrior, said, it's not just the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord, the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes the Lord just closes the door. That's the Lord's way of directing us. Habakkuk definitely expected God to give direction, to hear his prayer and answer his prayer. He expected an answer. He said in verse 2, it says in verse 2, and the Lord answered me. In verse 1, he's waiting, and in verse 2, God answered. Now we see also in verse 2 that God said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. The vision, of course, is God's answer. Write the vision. That's the answer for the prayer. He was to write it plainly upon tables. Tables would be like big tablets. And that was a common method of communication back in Bible times. And the idea was, it was to be committed to writing. And it was meant for not just the Habakkuk's pain, but for our day too. So in other words, this answer to prayer wasn't just for Habakkuk's benefit, it's for our benefit. It was to be put down in writing on tablets. It was to be legible with large letters that he may run that readeth it. In other words, no one could not be able to misunderstand what it says. It should be clear enough to read. And the message was good news. God was going to deliver Judah from the Chaldeans. I mentioned last week in our opening message in Habakkuk, that was the burden Habakkuk had. One question he asked was, why was God allowing so much evil in the world? And then, why would God use the wicked Chaldeans to punish the people of Judah when the people of Judah weren't as bad as the Chaldeans? Well, the good news was God was going to deliver Judah, and he was going to take care of the Chaldeans. Now, we see here in verse 3, the vision is for an appointed time. Appointed time indicates that although the prophecy will not have an immediate fulfillment, it will have a certain one. In other words, it's definitely going to be a fulfillment of the prophecy, though it might not be completely fulfilled in Habakkuk's lifetime. And if you are familiar with the Old Testament prophets, whether it's Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or any of them, you know oftentimes the prophecy will be partially fulfilled in their lifetime and then completely fulfilled in a future date. Oftentimes during the end times prophecy when Christ comes back. And that's what we have here. In other words, there's not an immediate fulfillment, but it's a definite fulfillment. God has an appointed time for the accomplishment of his purpose. Let's read verse 3. For the vision, that's the answer, is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, I want you to note those words, the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. In other words, the prophecy is surely going to be fulfilled. It will not tarry. Now, God has an appointed time for everything. And he is going to accomplish his purposes according to his schedule. And the fulfillment of his prophecies, promises, and visions will surely come to pass according to his good pleasure, according to his perfect schedule. Regarding this appointed time, a great preacher named Charles Feinberg wrote this. Charles Feinberg was studying to be a rabbi. And he got saved and became a preacher and wrote many excellent Bible books and commentaries. And Charles Feinberg, you like Feinberg's books, right? Oh, yeah. You need to get a hold of one of his books. It's worth reading. He's a tremendous Bible teacher. And premillennial and pre-tribulational and conservative and right down the line. But Charles, by the way, is he still alive or is he in heaven now? Pardon? Is he still around or is he still...
I don't think so. I think he died. But I met him in New York City. He was speaking there already. Maybe a number of books about the prophets.
Amen. All right. If you're looking for a good book on the minor prophets, by the way, this book is the best you can get. Best book on the minor prophets. Now, regarding the appointed time, Charles Feinberg wrote this. Delay is only in the heart of man. God is working the details according to his own plan. Patience was needed. The purpose of God cannot be hastened, nor can it be delayed. It comes to fulfillment at the appointed time. That's the right way to look at it. And Feinberg was right. The appointed time means God's perfect timing. We think sometimes God is going slow, there's a delay. No, not according to God. God's working out the details according to his schedule, according to his plan. Therefore, we're the one that needs to be patient. And the purpose of God certainly cannot be hastened nor delayed. His prophecies will be fulfilled at the appointed time. Now, notice I said in verse 3 that those two words, the end. But at the end, it shall speak. The end spoken of here is the realization of the prophecy in history. The immediate application relates to God's judgment upon the Chaldeans. But it certainly has a wider application, and that is the second coming of Christ. In Habakkuk's day, Babylon was going to be destroyed. That was the good news. Babylon was going to invade Jerusalem. Babylon was going to destroy the temple. Babylon was going to take the Jews away to captivity. The good news is Babylon would be destroyed. But like all Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk looked beyond his day, down the corridors of time, to the second coming of Christ. And when Christ returns, mystery Babylon the Great is going to be destroyed. So Babylon in Habakkuk's day was the existing manifestation of the satanic world system, which is going to develop and develop until finally when Christ comes back, it's going to be totally destroyed. Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, if you look in verse 3, it says, wait for it, because it will surely come. Let's look at that verse. That's a very interesting verse. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, not scheduled time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now, keep your place here. Look at Hebrews 10:37. Hebrews 10:37, the author of Hebrews is definitely quoting Habakkuk. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 37. Yet, he said, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Who's he? The Lord Jesus. So instead of saying it shall not tarry, here he says he that shall come and will not tarry. So where is Habakkuk? It's not it's not quite as clear that is according to the second coming of Christ. It's very clear in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. I think I dealt with this a little bit Sunday evening, how some of these prophecies are not quite that clear in the Old Testament. Then you get the New Testament and it becomes crystal clear. So here we see Habakkuk is referring to the second coming of Christ. Now, getting back to Habakkuk, I want you to also notice one more thing before we go back there. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10, and where is it here? Verse 38, the next verse. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. The just shall live by faith. Where did he get that from? Habakkuk. Let's go back to Habakkuk. And look at verse 4. We'll stop off here and maybe pick up on this next time. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. The just shall live by his faith. It's quoted 3 times in the New Testament. We just saw it in Hebrews 10:38. It's also quoted in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach the Bible tonight. Lord, I pray you'll help us to really get into these prophecies from Habakkuk and others and understand your program, that things are working right along with your schedule, your appointed time. Help us appreciate that just shall live by faith, that we're trusting you, that you're going to work everything out, that you're in control of our lives. So we ask you to help us to have more faith. We ask you to increase our faith, strengthen our faith. And now we pray you'll have your hand on our congregation as we gather in small groups to pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.